join me on Facebook, J. Bruce Sophia - Hijack Life. Love for you to follow, be a part, engage, comment, and let's conquer the world for Christ together.
Welcome to Change by the Word. I'm your host, Blaine Booth, and you're listening to Dr. Bruce Sophia of the Gloucester County Community Church in Washington Township, New Jersey.
There's many mysteries in the Word of God that men don't understand. And any person, any man of God that tells you he has all the answers, or any church that tells you they have all the answers, watch out, because they don't. If the Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of Scripture, wrote, "Now I see through a dark glass dimly," meaning there were certain mysteries he didn't understand, how much more feeble men today.
It's the never-changing truth in an ever-changing world.
Now I'm changed by the Word. Your cross gives me worth. Your way is flawless, always there for us.
Let's continue our study series in the book of Genesis. Here's our teacher, Bruce Sophia.
I also noticed that it happened at the saddest and lowest times of my life, and this worried me. So I questioned the Lord about it. "Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you would walk with me all the way. But now I find that during the most troubled parts of my life, there is only one set of footprints. I can't understand why in times when I needed you the most, you would leave me alone." And the Lord replied, "My precious child, I love you, and I would never leave you alone during the darkest hour of your need." You see, when there was only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. He promised he would never leave us nor forsake us. Now let's look at the vow or the prayer, verses 20 through 22. You have to say to yourself, if you're honest, why does God choose to answer this carnal, self-centered prayer? Why would God choose to answer a prayer like this? Well, the perfect answer, when you get to heaven, ask the boss. He'll tell you the perfect answer. A lot of things Paul said, who wrote through the inspiration of Scripture, "Now I see through a dark glass dimly, but then I shall see face to face." And there's many mysteries in the Word of God that men don't understand. And any person, any man of God that tells you he has all the answers, or any church that tells you they have all the answers, watch out, because they don't. If the Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of Scripture, wrote, "Now I see through a dark glass dimly," meaning there were certain mysteries he didn't understand, how much more feeble men today? So I don't have all the answers, but I sort of think there are three that I would give if I were asked. One was simply that God wanted to show His grace, His mercy, show you what He could do with such a wormy guy like Jacob. And say, "All right, I'll take you up on it." And we looked at those characteristics last week, and that is a scriptural word. If you think I'm being hard on him, that's what God called him in Isaiah. Now, the second reason is because he saw his heart, and you and I can't do that to any man. We can't see the heart, but God can. And see, in this heart of Jacob was this bulldogged determination that he was going to receive the promises of God. Now, maybe his motives were wrong, but even Paul said about the motives, didn't he? He said, some preach out of envy, some preach out of pride, some preach for monetary gain. He said, but I really don't care why they preach as long as the gospel goes out. So I'm not sure if Jacob's motives were even pure. But he did recognize the promises and recognize the blessings that came with the promises of God. Second reason. And the third reason was he tested God where God tells him to test him. That's right. He tested God in the only place in Scripture where God says, test me. Turn to Malachi chapter 3. We'll begin with verse 6. And it's interesting that this passage of Scripture, Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament, that verse 6 begins with the word Jacob. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. He says, I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. That's his grace. In other words, Jacob and your descendants, I should have wiped you out a long time ago. But since I don't change, and since I made you a promise, and we saw that promise today, that he'd never leave them nor forsake them, he says, I don't change. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees, and you have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask me, how shall we return? And God says, will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. And you say, how do we rob you? And God said, in tithes and in offerings. So you're under a curse, the whole nation. Because you are robbing me, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And he says, test me. The Bible says not to put the Lord to a test. We're not to, but God can tell you to. And God says, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I do not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you just won't even have room enough to contain it. And you know how I'll do it? Whatever it is, it's eating up your paycheck. I'll rebuke it. I'll chase it away. I won't let it do that to you. I'll give you 40,000 miles on that set of tires that's only good for 15. Whatever it may be, I'll rebuke it. That's his promise. It's also a New Testament principle, by the way. It's found in Matthew 23, 23 and Hebrews 7. So it's not just Old Testament. And the one thing Jacob is not is dumb. Back to Genesis 28. Jacob is not dumb. Maybe he's a little too smart, excuse the expression, for his britches. But dumb he is not. And since God says, test me, Jacob, especially in this point of his life, by the way, is a confirmed materialist. All the way. This point in his life, he is just a confirmed materialist. I mean, he's after everything he can get his hands on. But he knows something. See? He knows God said, test me in this. So he adds to this little vow he makes, okay, Lord, I know what your word says. See, my dad taught me. Because my grandfather taught my dad. And I know what you say. So now I'm going to put your mouth where your word is, and I'm going to say to you, boy, he even connives with the Lord. No wonder they called him supplanter or deceiver or sneaky. Now, here he is, takes the word of God, so he puts it in front of God, and he says, all right, the more I get, the more you get. It's that simple. That's my vow. You want to bless me? Fine. The more you get, the more I get, the more you get. And he was not only to learn that God would hold him to that vow, but he was to learn that he could not outgive God. I remember teaching a study in our young adult class at Mount Pleasant Church. We had a young marriage class, and I taught this principle. And the question came up, well, do I tithe, give the tenth? And by the way, a tenth means if you make $250, you give God $25. Doesn't mean you token give, which means you give him $15. A tenth is a tenth, 10%. Well, I was teaching this principle because it is the key to financial blessing without sorrow in the believer's life. It's what God tells us. And the question came up, well, do I tithe on my net or my gross? That's always a question. And I said, well, that's a good question. I don't know that it matters. I just know this, that you can't outgive God. And if you want to move just a little further in your trust or your faith, try giving on your gross instead of your net. God's already proven one thing. Try taking Him a little further. He said, test me in this, so go ahead. Now notice your bulletin. There's a definition of faith on the bottom of your bulletin. It says, faith is not belief without proof, but trust without reservation. And I like that, because that's true. The Word is proof. God has proved it over and over again. Our faith is trust without reservation. And I shared this principle, and there was a couple that went home and began to pray, and they felt God wanted them to give on their gross rather than their net. He was a prayer partner of mine. About 9 months later, he came up to me and said, Bruce, I've never told you this, but you wouldn't believe what happened. We went home, my wife and I prayed, we decided we're going to tithe on our gross. Just go a little further. Give that to God. And he said, I, within a 3-month period, received a 15% raise and a promotion that gave me 30%. That's 45%. And he said, I'm up right now, I'm up for a promotion in my job that will give me another 50% raise. It will give me the highest position on the job besides the supervisor. He worked on those oil rigs, and the promotion was a driller, second in command on the whole ship. And he said, I know personally it was because when we prayed and God told us what to do, they sought God, God gave him instruction. When we prayed and God told us what to do, God honored that decision. And today, he looks for ways in which the places to put his money so Uncle Sam doesn't eat it all up. You know who I'm talking about. And that was because he took a step of faith. Now, I'm not going to say that's going to happen to you. But in more cases than not, people who have taken that step of faith, God, in most cases, anybody's ever talked to me, at least the stories I get, maybe the people that don't, I don't know. But they come to me with that story. And I believe that if you're obedient to his guidelines, he will give you financial freedom. I've shared this before. I'm going to give it to you again real quickly. Financial freedom comes 4 ways. You must work, Proverbs 6. You must tithe, Proverbs 3, Malachi 3, Matthew 23, Hebrews 7. For the believer, financial freedom comes 4 ways. You must work, you must tithe, you must budget. Proverbs chapter 27, 23 through 27. The first year my wife and I were married, we budgeted every cent we made, but $1.50 went in the bank to pay bills. We went out once that year for dinner, and that's because somebody gave us $20 so I could take my wife out on her birthday. We had $1.50 left over, and $1.40 of it went to the paper boy. That's right. And you want to know something? You may laugh about it, but I didn't have to worry. God met every bill that year. I didn't carry home financial frustrations because I didn't wonder where the next bill was going to be paid. You know why? I budgeted. I knew what I made, where it had to go, and the home was a home of peace. Rather have a home of peace and harmony than a home of frustration because you spend money you don't have. Budget. And the fourth place is you must give to the right place. Malachi 3:10 says to give to the storehouse. Now, I'm going to give you something a little extra, and I've been 23 minutes, so I've got about 5 more minutes, even though we're a little over. So hang in there with me. I'm amazed of people who give to this TV ministry, that radio ministry, this ministry, that music ministry, or this music group. They give their tithe and say it's, they send their kids to school and say it's the tithe. God doesn't say that. Don't expect financial blessing without sorrow if you don't obey God in this principle. He says that the tithe should go to the storehouse. A storehouse is a place of feeding. And it should be your local church. And if it's not, you're the wrong place. That's right. And if you're here and this is not your house of feeding and this is not your storehouse, then it's the wrong place. Find another church. Now, I'm being hard, but I'm being serious. God says that the tithe should come to the storehouse, and your local church should be your storehouse. And if you're not being fed by your local church, you're not being blessed by your local church, you're not learning the Word of God from your local church, then find another local church. But you're the wrong place. And if you want to argue, don't argue with me. Argue with the Word. Malachi 3:10. And you know what amazes me in all of this? Most of the time, they don't know who the president of the ministry is. They've never even met him. They don't know how he lives. He's liable to have three Rolls Royces in the garage. They don't even know it. They don't even know where the money of the ministry goes. And you know who's left? The local church. To do the counseling. To visit you when you're in the hospital. To solve your family problems. To patch up the messes in the relationships. To marry your sons and your daughters. To do your funeral. To send you flowers when you're sick. Send cards when you have babies. Just had one. That's what made me think of it. Offer program and activities for your children. It's your local church and your local pastor. That should be your storehouse. Now that was extra. You may not have liked it, but that's too bad. That was extra. God also tells you, by the way, how to give systematically, Proverbs 3 and 9 and 10. You give systematically, your blessings come systematically. Anyway, let's close out. Jacob knew that he wanted God's blessing, and he knew what God said, so he stuck that promise right back in his face, as carnal as it was, and he said, "All right, Lord, I'll give you the tenth, but that means you got to bless." So the Lord took him up on it, and did he ever. We'll see that over the next few weeks. Now, I just want to take a moment and look at the staircase, verse 16 and verse 17 of Genesis 28. And let's read it together. Let's start with 16. "And when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, 'Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it.' And he was afraid, and he said, 'How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven.'" And whenever we're in the presence of God, listen to me now, whenever we're in the presence of God, though we sense His love, we also recognize His holiness or His perfectness. And when we see His perfectness, you know what happens to us? We see our sinfulness. When we see His holiness, we see our sinfulness. And that is always frightening. And notice what verse 17 says. This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Why could he say that? Because Jacob, sinful man, and God, righteous God, had done something. He had let down a staircase, a bridge, so that sinful man could make contact with righteous God. That's what he did. See that picture of salvation? Sinful Jacob, carnal, sinful Jacob. Righteous God sees him, and he makes a bridge. And who's standing on top of the bridge? Who's standing on top of the bridge? The Lord, the Savior. And he says, it is the gate of heaven. Isn't that precious? Listen, God this morning is offering you a gate to heaven. It's His Son, Jesus Christ. And just as He offered it to Jacob with his head on a pillow of stone, He offers it to you this morning right where you sit. Do you want that gate to heaven? It's Jesus. Let's pray. Spirit of the living God. Heavenly Father, I thank you that in your mercy, in your grace, and I think of Jacob, who was a person unworthy of your grace, and yet you offered it to him. And we are men and women unworthy of your grace. And you offer it to us as well. And the same promise you gave him, you gave to us. You said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And Lord, for those who are here this morning and have never received you as their personal Savior, I pray that in the next few moments that they would give their life to Thee. If you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you may do so right where you sit. You must, as Jacob did, recognize your sinfulness, that you've done wrong, that you've missed the mark. But then you must recognize the truth about God, and that is that He loved you. And He knew that. He knew you couldn't do anything to make it right. So He gave His Son Jesus. That ladder, that stairway between you and the Father. And this morning where you sit, if you'll just say these words after me. Those of you who would like to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just say this in your heart after me. Say, Father in heaven. Go ahead. Say, Father in heaven, I admit to you that I'm a sinner. I believe you sent Jesus to die and to pay for my sins. And I do believe that He rose again that I might have eternal life. And this morning, on this October the 23rd, I ask you to come into my life to be my Lord and my Savior. I repent of my sin. I want to serve you. I want you to be my Lord. And I thank you for hearing my prayer. I thank you in Jesus' name. If you'd look up, amen. We're going to stand. Let us all stand. I'm going to sing a verse of that Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. I'm going to give a brief benediction. Those of you who prayed that prayer and asked the Lord to come into your life, as the others leave and as the choir goes downstairs for their meeting. And is it raining out, by the way? It is. Parents, you'll need to pick up your children at the school then. They won't walk them over. But no time is more important than the time that you accepted Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. So as they leave, just come to the front. And George, I'll ask you to come down. We have some literature we'd like to give you. Be a help to you. I'd like to have a record of what you did this morning, accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior.
Are you saved? Not sure? Well, we have designed a pamphlet to help you with your new decision to receive Christ. Those of you who prayed with Pastor Bruce today, we would love to send you an ABC pamphlet and a free gift guidebook entitled, What Now? Just call us at 1-800-CHANGED. That's 1-800-242-6433. Changed by the Word is a listener-supported radio ministry. Your prayers and financial support enable us to share the good news of Jesus. We constantly hear not only from those listening in the United States, but from 70-plus nations all around the world. That only happens through the generous gifts of our Changed by the Word partners, we affectionately call Good Sams. Those of you who have been blessed by Changed by the Word believe its message is worth sharing. Consider partnering with Changed by the Word. Go to www.cbtw.org and click on the Support CBTW on the top toolbar, or simply call us at 1-800-CHANGED. That's 1-800-242-6433 and join our Good Sam team. Our prayer is to see 260 new Good Sams each year. Changed by the Word, the never-changing truth in an ever-changing world.
Changed by, changed by.